Tales of the Stupid! I normally start off with Tales of the Stupid. I think this week I will let somebody else. If you want to start off with your addendum, and then we'll come back to you for your full one. Okay, so
So this is an addendum to the Great Esposito.
Yes.
Now, hopefully you were all listening to the other shows, and you heard the full Esposito story.
Yes, Cave Troll told about running into Esposito as this guy who came up to the gate.
Esposito does not wait.
Yeah, Esposito does not wait. Esposito. Yes. He talked to about himself in
Esposito
the third,
has no ID.
Third person.
Yeah, yeah.
So, however, Cave Troll was not the first person to deal with him.
Yeah. And in fact, you know, Cave Troll was actually very upset with me because we... I was standing out there, and Cave Troll was beside me, and Esposito came up, and we talked with him, and you know, I already had a rapport with Esposito. didn't know this, and I guess I was winging it well. And he went away, and he came back in the line, and I made him wait there all the way through the line, because it was like the last call. So, you know, you move the line, and you get everybody in there, they can have a couple beers, and then you kick them out. But... it's cruel to make people wait in line for 2 hours and tell them to go home.
Yeah.
So he was at the back line, and I allowed him to wait there. And I checked everyone's ID and patted him down and everything. And then before he got to Cave Troll, I abandoned him. And he was quite upset with me about leaving him in Esposito.
Cave Troll or Esposito?
No. Cave Troll was upset that I let him deal with Esposito by himself.
Oh, okay.
After the two of us had dealt with him. But what he wasn't aware of is that myself and VD had our first encounter with Esposito. So we see Esposito, and as you know, he was dressed up all sparkly and...
Very douchebag chic.
Very douchebag, yes. He had his purse matched his shoes. His sparkly shirt very much, you know, matched the glittery gloss in his hair and all that. And... So he comes up with his little sidekick. His sidekick was less douchey, but clearly an asshole. And so we asked him for ID. And, you know, his buddy showed his ID. And his buddy actually, because apparently Esposito doesn't handle his own bags. He'll carry his bag, but he doesn't want to search through it, right? So his buddy looks through the bag for Esposito, looking for his ID, and he doesn't have an ID. And we inform him clearly, you're not getting in without ID.
No.
But I'm Esposito.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Esposito. Not Mr., just Esposito. Okay, well, you see, unfortunately, without ID, you can't come inside. But I'm Esposito. Okay, sir. Not sir, Esposito. Okay, Esposito. Unfortunately, you can't come in without ID. It's just the way it goes here. But don't you know who I am? I'm Esposito. And of course... VD steps in, and he explains the same thing. And of course, Esposito is unpleasant with this. And so Esposito's, you know, well, what's your name? And so VD gives his name, and he's like, no, but what's your last name? And it's VD. Like, well, VD wouldn't give it, and he badgered him several more times. And I said, it's Smith. Yeah. All right, VD Smith, I'm gonna have your job. I'm Esposito. You're fired. And he continues to. Spin, you know, 90 degrees straight to the left, and do this little temper tantrum, walk away, which he runs straight into those little stanchions, the little rope that goes across.
Yep.
He trips over the stanchion and wraps himself up in the rope, because it wasn't that far spread apart. You know, this thing go like 10 feet.
Clang.
He's only 3 feet. Yeah, he's like clang, and he falls over, and in the process of trying to get up, he actually wraps himself up more. He lost his shoe. His bag went over there, and he got up and put his shoe back on and put his bag on and made sure nobody, you know, recognized that Esposito was just embarrassed himself. And then he went off his merry little way. He mouthed off some more about how he was going to have our jobs. And that's when, you know, 25 minutes later, he came back to the front door. And Cave Troll had taken over for VD at this point. So this was his first encounter, but this is my second encounter. Yeah, it was quite amusing. But that's the addendum, and that's why, you know, Cave Troll was rather upset that I left him be on the third encounter. Esposito. Because I'd already known how to deal with Esposito, and I knew how to address Esposito at this time.
Yes.
I had a rapport going with Esposito. And Esposito liked to be treated a certain way.
So you called him Fucknut.
No. I was actually very nice to Esposito.
He was Esposito.
Yeah, I said, well, Esposito, because I knew not to call him Mr. Do you have your ID? I knew full well he didn't. And so he looked in his bag again. It was like, well, you know, if you find your ID, you're free to come in.
He actually had a bag. Like, you weren't kidding. He actually had a shoulder bag.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It matched his shoes and everything.
Oh, my fucking God.
Yeah. And, so I told him to go away. And because I had Cave Troll with me, you know, Esposito didn't want to argue too much because, you know.
Cave Troll is a Cave Troll, yes.
He's huge.
Yeah.
So he went off in the parking lot, and two of them consulted how Esposito was going to get into our bar. And then he went to the back of the line, in which I let him wait in for a good 25 minutes. And then we let the line move, and before it became Esposito's turn, I went inside.
Because you didn't want to let him in.
I didn't want to let him in. I didn't want to talk to Esposito for a third time.
Yep.
So I let Cape Troll do it. And he hasn't let me live it down since.
Okay.
So that's the addendum.
That's the addendum.
Esposito. Yeah.
Okay, before you get onto your story, I am going to break a rule. I'm not going to give the real name because I don't feel like doing this, but I am going to tell a little bit of a background story because I've had the final kind of conversation with a person in my life. I've written her off. Now, for those of you who don't know me, and my friends for the most part know this, I've had a friend that I met at work that I called my sister for the last several years. I met her back in about 2002, I think, is actually when I met her. We'll call her Chris. That's the shortened version of her name. Anyhow, Chris has gone through a series of relationships where some guy she was interested in wasn't interested in her, and so she doesn't have a sister, so she calls me up all the time asking what she should do, why guys don't think the way she wants them to think, blah, 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 you know, and I try to basically make her feel better instead of saying he's just not that into you, which, by the way, she hates that movie and hates that book, like literally loses her mind as soon as somebody else mentions it, or yeah. And she has actually ended a friendship with somebody because they mentioned it, and I should have taken the hint and maybe done this, but I'm a giving soul. So when somebody is my friend, I will stand by them through thick and thin. However, I have reached a point, and I am no longer friends with this person because we had a conversation. Now to explain this. A while back, Chris entered a social club. One of you might have heard, if you live here in the Vancouver area, some radio ads for these single social club where you...
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And she joined it. And spent quite a bit of money to fucking do this thing, which is right now she couldn't really afford, but, you know, hey, that's what she wants. So she chased a guy or two that was in the club, and it didn't work out. One guy she chased for quite some time turned out to be really gay. To give her credit, the guy never said anything, and the only way she found out was by Facebook stalking him.
Oh, geez, one of those.
Yeah, yeah. This guy was so far back in the closet, Mr. Tumnus was handing him a sweater, okay? Like that one, PBM?
Not by the look on his face.
Oh, I got a nose pinch bridge.
Worse than the face palm.
Yep. All right. So, anyhow, Chris...
just a little aneurysm, will be just fine.
Chris finally went for this guy.
Eyeliner guy?
Eyeliner guy. No, not the eyeliner guy, but...
He is still in the closet.
He's still in the closet. Well, not very... He's openly in the closet. He likes to prance in front of the closet. We'll talk about him in a bit.
Yes.
But, no, so Chris went after this other guy. And this guy, like most people in this club... They apparently have some real problems, especially socializing problems. They're not very good at it. If they were, they wouldn't be in this club. Would you pay $1,200 to meet somebody if you could just meet somebody?
Is that how much it costs?
Yeah.
For how many events?
Fuck.
For a year. A year's membership. Plus you have to pay for the
events. And you have to pay for the
events. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, so this obviously isn't the fish one. This is the adventures one.
Yeah, the adventures one. Yeah.
Oh. So it's $100 a month.
Yeah.
Yes, but yearly though.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
I actually considered about joining that club, but I guess not now.
Most of the girls in it are late 30s, early 40s, and very...
awkward.
No, how do I say this? Desperate. And most of the guys in it are very...
Gay.
No, not gay. Just total nerds, don't know how to meet girls, don't know how to respond to girls.
So it's plenty of fish for the rich.
So, yes. So they're like me, only with more money.
Yeah. Only Chris definitely is not rich enough to afford this.
Mm-hmm. No.
So Chris kept calling up, and this guy that she's been interested in is a serial dater. He dates somebody for about a month and a half and then moves on to somebody else.
Yeah.
So she went to one of these events and he showed up at the event with another girl.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I had 2 weeks of listening to her whine and bitch. And I said, finally, it's like, look, if he's not... I didn't say he's not into you, but I said if he's showing up with somebody else, he's obviously into somebody else. They did have one date, and he said, quote unquote, after kissing her, he didn't feel a lot of chemistry. I don't think you need very many more clues that maybe to move off in another direction, right?
Stage 5 clinger.
Oh, yeah.
But, see, this is why I avoid this entire thing. Back when I used to be a big dater, I mean, I've had a couple serious relationships now. I'm getting older and past all of that. But I remember having conversations, very blunt conversations with people that I've met through some of these social interaction websites. And be like, you know what? We know that we're not going to marry each other, but you're a good lay. So until you find somebody else or I find somebody else, let's just, keep in contact. And when we move on to the next best thing... No big deal, just let me know. And that's exactly how it would play out, and we were both fine.
Ah, but my child.
Yes.
You were an adult. Even back when you were a child, you were an adult compared to my friend.
I just wish more women had this little nugget of knowledge that it's okay to not be loved by everybody.
You weren't born and raised in Vancouver, were you?
Here and there and everywhere.
No, he's talking about downtown Vancouver.
Vancouver women or something weird?
In the water? Yeah, I know. But anyhow, Chris is definitely... Chris also has blow-ups. And these blow-ups occur...
It's called PMS.
No.
You get a little bloated?
No. Yeah, I would... No, that not those kind of blow-ups.
I'm joking.
The rubber ones that you actually have to inflate.
Maybe if she did, she would...
This would be a problem.
Yeah. But she would routinely call me up, and I would have to have four-hour conversations with her.
I think I've walked in on a few of those with you where I come in to visit you at site somewhere, and, oh, hang on, I'm just dealing with something right now. Oh, it's okay, sweetie. It's okay, honey. That's the one.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So... we had an argument. My wife and her had an argument, and to the point that my wife does not want to talk to her anymore. And hey, two of you, stop it. They're having a poke fight.
I did not poke a leprechaun.
Stop it. Okay. Wow. So yeah, let me finish this story and then we can get on to something else. Okay. So finally, now
he started it.
I put up with all of this shit because I'm obviously a fucking masochist. I try to be a friend to people that are friends with me, and I to the point where my wife, who will not talk to her anymore, won't allow her into the house. I have put up with this, and my wife is very understanding. She knows that there is no sexual attraction between me and this girl. Mm-hmm. And to bring home the point, me and this girl have referred to each other as brother and sister, mainly because it's easier to explain the fact that we have a close relationship with somebody, male and female, and there is no sexual overtones when we're talking about other people. Well, the guy who I mentioned, the serial dater, decided he now wants to go out with Chris. Part of the reason, I think, is because he's getting to the end of his time in the club, and he decided he needs to find somebody, and Chris is one of those ones that he's pretty sure that...
We'll go for it, no matter what.
Exactly. So he started dating her. Now, Thursday night, 2 weeks ago now, Chris and I were supposed to go out for dinner because we haven't seen each other. We've just talked on the phone lately. And so she calls me up, arranges the time and all the rest of it, and gets to Thursday and she doesn't show. I wait, I call her on her cell phone, call her on her home line. No, just leave messages, nothing, no callback. Finally, around 9 o'clock, I get a phone call. And she starts the conversation off with yelling at me. Now, I know what this is about. She had made the arrangements to go out and then decided that she felt pressured by going out. Yeah, I know that makes no sense, but I've seen this with her before.
Okay.
So her way of, instead of actually apologizing or starting off with the conversation with, I'm sorry, I didn't feel like coming out, was to blame me for something.
Right.
So that way it's my fault rather than, you know. And I've dealt with this before, and I usually get pretty fucking tired of it. So she starts off with screaming and yelling about how I was totally wrong, and now she's dating this guy, and she's very happy, and how I've been giving her bad advice. And here it comes. This is the part where the whole story. Apparently, the reason I've been giving her bad advice is because, and she said, I am secretly in love with her. And had been trying to sabotage all of her relationships so that I could leave Deb and run away with her.
Well, clearly.
Oh! She's got some fucking issues. Oh my god.
Oh, is this the one I know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I snapped. Yeah. You know me. You know how tolerant I am. And you've overheard the conversations. I know all of you except for maybe Captain Longbeard. And have you even seen it, Ref? Okay, so everybody except for maybe Captain Longbeard have overheard me put up with her shit.
No, I have also.
You have heard? Okay, so everybody in the room has heard me put up with her shit for the last 7 years.
Oh.
I finally fucking snap.
And I thought I wouldn't have a story today, but this brings to mind so many.
I said, okay, first of all, Chris, there is no chance in hell of me being interested in you because I'm not that much of a masochist. Oh, yes. And second of all, being your friend is way too expensive emotionally. Please don't call me anymore. And I hung up on her.
Way to go. Congratulations. Sometimes you just have to say, you know what, enough is enough. Just fucking...
Yeah, I am, wait. It's not often I will cut somebody out of my life, but... she's insulted my wife in the past, and I have only called her to task partially on it. She's insulted me many times, and I've never called her to task on it. That was it. It was just too much. I finally... That is my tale of the stupid.
Freedom! Woo!
The stupid is me for putting up with it for 7 years. And the stupid is this girl.
She clearly doesn't get it.
Oh. God.
And you know that in a month he's going to be done with her and she's going to be leaving you sobby messages on your phone going, I was wrong.
No. She'll never admit she's wrong. She will never admit she's wrong. She'll call up to try to find out if maybe I've grown up a little bit to see if I want to rekindle our friendship instead of just ruining it.
So you're going to do it, right?
Wow.
No.
See, I have a similar situation, but in reverse. See, I have a friend of mine that I've been friends with for 10 years now.
Yep.
And he's a male. He's been interested in me for a very long time. When we met, it was through a dating site, and we did date, we did play around, and it was, this isn't going to work out long term, but we obviously have a lot in common. Let's be friends.
Yes.
The adult thing to do.
And yes.
It's one of those friendships where you don't talk to each other for 3 or 4 months, and then, hey, how's it going? We should hang out, go watch a movie, whatever. And that's fine. And there's no pressure there. And it's been okay. Well, with the last breakup that I had, he decided this was his time to pounce. And he was not the only one. And this was very frustrating to me where I break up with somebody everyone comes out of the woodwork and says, "So, you're down to fuck. All right." Or coffee? delete.
You know, it's really a shame when you've got to, like, kind of go through your list of friends and went, wow, I didn't realize I knew that many douchebags.
Click. These are the people that I have defended to former boyfriends.
Yeah, that's the worst part. Is,
you know, oh, he's not that bad. He's just, you know, he's one of those guys. And this is totally fine. And don't worry. And then, you know, and then it all comes out in the open. You know, he's a very good guy. He's a little misguided. And I told him flat out, look, I appreciate it. I appreciate you coming out here and buying me lunch and everything and showing up at my work and giving me birthday cards. But, you know, friendship is friendship, and that's as far as I want to go. Well, he's claimed to be okay with this. Then I started dating Mr. Mayhem, and shit hit the fan. He called me up so fucking angry. How dare you throw away something good that we could have had together? I would have loved you so much better, and I'm tired of you treating me like shit. And
is this Kay?
This is my friend the
Guy Leonard?
No, this is my friend the driving instructor.
Oh, okay. All right.
What to call him? Star Wars nut.
Driving instructor.
Driving instructor.
Driving me crazy. He went so far as to offer to have sex with me in a furry costume because he thought that's what I was into. I appreciate the effort.
You are into that, aren't you?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm a furry. But
she likes dressing up as a furry. She doesn't really need the guy to be that way.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, no, I don't dress up for sex.
Are you not the furry sex?
No, furry sex. And that's a big misconception with furries, and I'll forgive that this
time. All
right. Ram. So anyways, we have the argument. Look, I'm tired of you putting this guilt trip on me. I appreciate that you like me and everything, but this has got to stop. And this is where I pulled out the line that I will never live down. You assume too much, and that is why you fail.
Oh.
What I had been trying to say was, you assume too much, and that is why you fail to understand what I'm really going through here. Maintain our friendship without fucking it up. But of course, you know, I get to that part of the sentence and, oh, Miss Kitty, she just burst out into giggles. I paused because I'm like, oh shit. He starts screaming, slams down the phone. Okay, I've been trying to apologize to him for about, well, Mayhem and I have been dating for over four months.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to explain myself to him for this
whole time. You know something?
He will not. Even,
you know, I always say, and I've done this because I used to really be an asshole. I'm a lot better than I used to be. So I always used to have blow-ups where I would have a little... I'll call them what the fuck they were. They were temper tantrums. Despite the fact being an adult, I would have temper tantrums.
Are you Esposito?
I would...
No, he is Dak.
He is Dak.
Thank you. And... I would act like a shitheel, and I have always said that you put the apology out there. You know, if the person and if they won't accept it, yes, you may have committed the sin that got you to the point where you had to apologize, but
they didn't forgive.
If they don't forgive you, then the sin's not yours anymore.
I can appreciate that.
Sweet and later.
Wow. I felt literally the ooze from fear. That was epic. And I know you're like an oil slick on water for the soul.
With amazing chops.
It was actually Cave Troll that said it best. You know what? You really are a douchebag. But it's okay. Because you're our douchebag.
Because it works to our advantage.
Yeah, and at which point I actually honestly said to him, you know what, you're the third friend calling me a douchebag in the last 2 weeks.
Douchebag.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It was, you know, the island girl?
Yes. Yeah.
She called me a douchebag the week before that. And she's like, no, but you're a good douchebag. All right.
You're a cleansing douchebag.
How can he be an oily cleansing douchebag?
Does that make him just special?
Wow.
Well, you just have to follow Cave Troll's advice and own it. After all. After all. Somebody calls you a douchebag, you say, yes, absolutely. Your mother smelled much better after I was done with her.
Wow! Well, you're really quiet over there.
He did call me a douchebag just before the Esposito incident. So.
Okay, anybody else after? I think you are done, right?
With that one, yes.
Yeah, okay.
I with that one. Should we do the kids at the KFC?
Kids at the KFC, yes, probably. Okay, so to now we need to come up with a name. Now, we're not going to mention who it is, but we need to come up with a name for this guy.
Okay, so
he's a young man who I've mentioned in the past. He was there as my backup on the story where I made the kid cry. And I can't... Do you remember what we called him?
I can't even remember the story.
It was one of the early ones. I made a kid cry that the cops were literally...
Oh, the beer...
The retarded kid.
Yeah, the retarded kid
asshole.
That Ronan Medic basically had me convinced for 2 weeks I had made a retarded kid cry. He wasn't retarded. He was just an idiot.
Right.
but Ronan Medic had me going. But anyhow, the guy who was my backup, do you... Do you remember what we called him?
Ref?
Okay, so for this story, he will be known as...
Guyliner. Guyliner? Was it Guyliner or McFluffy?
McFluffy? Okay, Guyliner, McFluffy.
So if you're Guyliner or McFluffy, that's both the same person. You know, this guy is... He's our wonderful mouthpiece.
Yes.
You know, you always have to have a couple goons. You have like, a smart guy, which is obviously Dak here. You have a friendly guy, which for some reason usually me, but when people don't know me as a friendly guy, apparently I'm not the tough way.
Yeah.
There's the easy way and the hard way, and then I come around the corner and they go, and there goes the hard way.
Who do what now?
Yeah, I'll play along, but we're going to talk about this later. So Guyliner is the kind of guy that will walk up to a group of three or four douchebags and start referring to them as princess.
Yeah.
Just because he can.
Yeah. And he is what, 5?
He's 5'4".
5'4"?
Yeah.
Taller than 5'4".
No, he's 5. He's not even... He's 5'6", maybe.
Probably 5'8".
No, I'm 5'9".
Yeah,
he's got he's got like 3 inches on him easily. So,
so we'll call him like
Meow Meow's 3 inches longer. What?
Or number 9 or 10?
It's Mew Mew.
Okay, so we'll call him 5.5 feet roughly, and he's about 170 pounds,
soaking wet with a radiator tied to his back.
Interestingly enough, he was the first guy to actually tackle Ginger Fatty, which was very impressive.
Ginger Fatty.
Yeah, he took down Ginger Fatty with not much more than a shove from one of the other guys. I'm sure he would have gotten it eventually, but anyway, and then, you know, ooh, shiny. So, Guyliner is working at a hotel.
Yes, the hotel I work at on a regular basis.
And I'm working at the housing complex next door. Now, we're kind of the community workers. We're making sure the parties stay low. You know, people doing coke off the kitchen counter, but there's nothing we can do. They live there. So we're just walking around making sure the people don't park in the fire lane or whatever, right? And all of a sudden, on a Friday night, I see a flare go off.
Yeah, a real flare.
A real flare. And it grabs my attention. It was like a single ball Roman candle. It just one ball Roman candle. Across the street. And I'm looking over, I'm like,
Keskafuck?
Hey, something to do. So I start sauntering on over. I just finished my A&W, you know, I finished a smoke and something to do. So I start walking over.
Shiny objects.
Yeah, and I see a couple kids all giggling to themselves. And
by the way, very inconspicuous, guys. Yeah.
Yes, yes. When you were launching flares across a road in the middle of a commercial complex, you shouldn't stick around and giggle. So I'm looking, and I see another flare go off. And I'm like, okay, well, that's something to do. So I start to saunter on over, and I see yet another flare go off. And I see these two kids now. They're by the order box of I don't even care if I say their name, the KFC, and they're just standing by the menu, giggling to themselves because it's kind of hidden from the road. And so I start sauntering over, and they go around the corner, you know, to like the pickup window. And so you know, I get as much cover as I can because, you know, I want to be stealthy about this. I don't want them to know that I'm coming for them. Yep. And so I come around the corner and they're gone now. So I go around the other corner and sure enough, there's four kids standing there and they were about to walk away anyway, but they turned around and they looked straight at me. And so they started to run. And so, you know, the first kid, he had the backpack, I'm assuming a shitload of booze or the flares or whatever. But I tried to grab him, he eluded me, and he kept running. Smart kid. The other kid, however, dropped a bunch of shit when he saw me. He basically, you know, shit all the stuff out of his hands. And as I was trying to grab the other kid, he's busily picking up everything he can off the ground. And by the time I got to him, all there was one beer on the ground, and he was reaching for it. So I kicked the beer, and his hand was in the way, and he kind of, you know, yelped in pain. And because I had my hand, you know, up by the scruff of the neck, another hand down by the belt, and I kicked the beer out, I threw him. Missed the tree.
You bums rushed him? Did you push him forward or just basically just...
No, I ran towards him,
yeah.
Grabbed him, kicked the beer, and his hand was in the way, so I kicked his hand. And as he was going, oh, my hand, I did a 180 spin.
Ah, okay, so you just did a spin toss.
Yeah,
okay.
I did a spin toss. And so then he runs around to the other side of the of this restaurant. So I didn't even run. I just walked around the corner. And just before I got to the front of the store, I see this car come in with a purpose. It was a Volkswagen Jetta. Nothing but tinted out windows. And this is an area where, you know, there's some characters you don't want to mess with. You know, some people have guns. Some people just like to shit kick or stab people. But, you know, it doesn't take much to offend some of these people. And so I'm instantly thinking, okay, whatever I do to these kids, like they're, you know, 18, 19, maybe 16, I don't know. But whatever I can do to these kids is going to be potentially less than whatever this character is.
Right? Yes.
So there's only three of them now because he caught up with the two buddies who, you know, they're drinking beer. And a car pulls up right in front of him. And instantly this kid runs. Now, for the second time in this story, he doesn't run in the 350 degrees where he could have had a safe escape. He ran to the one direction where I was standing. And now if he deked to his right, he had nothing but open parking
lot. Well, you know what that is? Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. But in evolution, some of the antelope always go towards the lion. It's kind
really?
Of it's so the herd survives. It's kind
oh,
of
okay.
It's kind of a fault that's in the wiring and
it's Darwinism in action.
Okay. Which would explain why he didn't deke to the right where there was nothing but an entire parking lot. He deked to the left where there was me, 3 feet, and a wall. So I check him against the wall, and as he bounced back, I don't know, I've been doing security for about 3 years at this point. And, you know, I did construction for years before that, I worked the bar before that. My instinct was I jerseyed him.
Oh,
I didn't do any arm bars or wrist holds or any of these things that we know.
You just shirted him.
I shirted him.
And that's a hockey term. Look it up, guys.
You're just playing with him now.
Yeah. And then I threw him to the ground.
It's like a cat with a mouse.
Yeah, play with him a bit first, yeah.
Yeah. And so
you want to play.
And so I threw him to the ground. He's a little squirmy kid, and I finally get the better of him, and I've got him down. I've got his arm wrenched right up behind his back, and you know, knee in the back and one arm up, and I've got him contained now, and Guy Lantern's now standing there staring. He's come over from the hotel, and the driver is standing there staring, and his two buddies are drinking all the beer. You gotta drink the beer before the cops show up, right?
Amen.
The idea would be to leave, but no.
They're watching
their friend get his ass kicked.
There's eight beer to finish.
And they gotta drink, they're drinking the beer.
Yeah, you can't have that go to waste. So, and now, you know, Guy Larry asked me, well, do you want to call the cops? And I'm like, well, I'm not sure. Right? Like, I mean, all he really did was he launched some flares, apparently, at this guy's car.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, I'm not sure. And he's like, well, what do you want to do? And I look at the driver. I'm like, well, do you want to press charges? And he goes, well, I don't know. And so all I could do is I looked at the kid. He's not looking at me. His face is in the pavement. But he goes, how old are you? 18.
Okay, yeah, he's stupid enough.
I'm like, what are you, fucking stupid?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're 18. You can be charged now. You do this when you're 16. You can't be charged for shit.
Yeah.
You know, start throwing rocks at cars. It's all good. Hey, I broke a windshield. Yeah. Ooh, the cops got me. Damn. Mom's going to be so mad. But no, this kid's 18. He's like, what are you, stupid? And Guyline's like, well, do you want to call the cops or what? And the only reason why I actually called the cops is because at one point when I was squirming with him, my hand got trapped underneath him. I wasn't wearing my gloves like an idiot. And I got a split my knuckle, like a road rash on my knuckle.
Yeah.
So I'm looking down, I'm bleeding. And I'm like, oh, well, call the cops.
Yeah. There's blood involved,
call the cops. There's blood, yeah. I'm bleeding. You know, this kid's annoyed me.
Yeah,
I'm sure the cops got nothing to do. It's only like 10.
It's early.
They're having a coffee, you know. They just got on shift. They finished their paperwork. It's
they're just on the other side of the complex anyway.
Yeah. So
throw them an easy one to start the night out.
Yeah. Right?
Sometimes that sets the tone.
It sets the mood. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what it is. You know, I make the decision. Yeah, I call the cops. And for some reason, I didn't actually wait for them to call the cops. I pulled out my phone. So this kid's actually on the ground, and I'm on top of him. I got one hand with the phone on my ear, another hand trying to hold him, and he realizes this. This is his golden opportunity, so he starts to squirm. And before he grabs loose, I give him the guy-liner.
Yeah.
He's a wrestler. Yeah. He likes detaining people. He's clearly not calling the cops in time, so... He's got him.
It's worse than calling the cops.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, he's a fresh meat guy liner.
Oh, hey, guy liner.
You want a raffle?
I got an 18-year-old version here for you. You want him? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just say that his sexuality is...
Unknown.
Questioned.
But you mean baffling.
It may have been repealed in the U.S. military, but up here we don't ask and we don't tell.
Because I don't want to know. So he takes his little virgin over there. And I,
the bushes.
Yeah, and I start telling the cops everything's going on. You know, they're asking all sorts of questions. They're like, well, okay, so what did they do? And I'm like, well, they did this. You know, they were launching flares at traffic. I got the driver here and all that. And it's like... okay, and they're not really sure if they even want to come down.
Yeah, for this one, I don't blame them. Yet.
I think it might have been the bitch dispatcher, actually.
Oh, her, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We have two dispatchers in this particular jurisdiction, and one is really nice, and the other one always asks really stupid questions, like, well, what makes them just suspicious? And there's like two crackheads breaking into a car.
I'll mention the story, a quick one afterwards.
I know the dispatcher you're talking about.
Oh, everyone knows the dispatcher I'm talking about. So, everyone's hearing Langley, anyway. So, I'm describing him, and the other two kids are still drinking the beer. They're about half done now. And I tell dispatch this, right? And I tell the kids, go sit down.
Well, I don't want it.
Go sit down.
Well, why?
Because I'm telling you to sit down.
Well, why do I have to sit down?
And dispatcher goes, because you're placing them under arrest till we get there. Because I'm placing you under arrest till the police arrive. Now go sit your ass down.
Well, but I don't want it.
So I tell the dispatcher, okay, I'm going to put you in my pocket now. I got stuff to do. And so all the dispatchers said, you know, the phone in the pocket while I'm wrestling with this kid. Now, I don't know what happened. You know, it was probably the A&W aid. I was actually having a bit of a protein attack. Don't eat and get into a fight. Sucks.
Yeah.
So this kid actually got the better of me. He grabbed my bomber jacket, put me down on the ground. And now I could have started kneeing him or punching him or whatever. But he got me down on the ground. And you see the look of fear on this kid's face. He still got me by the scruff of the jacket, but he's looking at me like, oh shit, what did I do?
Yeah, now he realizes he's just made it serious.
Yeah, exactly, right? And I still got him held, and so the driver comes over and pushes him over.
Yeah. Push.
I helped, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I go lean on my car and have a smoke?
So I put him down on the ground, and the whole time, Guylander actually eased up. Anytime you detain somebody and they stop fighting... You know, it's really uncomfortable, especially if the cops take a while to get there. So most of the time, just mind, ladies and gentlemen, if you get put down to the ground by a bouncer, security, whatever, stop moving, cooperate, they'll probably take it nice on you. So Guy Lantern, you know, takes it nice on the kid. Be like, okay, you're going to keep fighting? He's, no, okay, well, I'm going to ease up on you just a little bit. And he's still got him wrapped around by the hips.
Yeah.
But he's no longer...
by the...
he's straddled his hips. But he's no longer inducing pain with his hands.
Don't want to know where
My mind just went on a dirty blanket.
You went right there too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Needless to say, his pants were around his ankle.
So,
what?
So we got to tell him sometimes that you just sometimes a gentle twist is enough. No.
Yeah.
Lube.
So the kid.
How close are we to the happy ending?
Oh, it's coming. No, this is so beautiful. That's beautiful. So the kid actually tries to get up, and he grabs him by the wrist, and actually drills him into the ground.
Yeah, I bet.
So the cops get there. Now instantly, the cops don't particularly like the situation. There's a couple big bouncers,
couple of kids,
and three kids, and we're beating them up. And so they all get put in cuffs, put in the back of the cop cars, and you know all the evidence is secured. And there was some question as to whether there was actually evidence or if it was just laying on the ground. But like, no, he was in possession of a blah blah blah. Turns out these kids are actually selling magazine subscriptions. I didn't even know people do this anymore.
Yep.
But they've come over from the island to come sell magazine subscriptions on the mainland, and they're all staying in a hotel with the boss. They've got like a 30, 40-year-old something dude supervising these four kids, and apparently not very well. So we get him out there. And we're describing to the cop, you know, the cops are describing to him that, you know, like, look, we're going to let these kids go as long as you supervise them. And they ask me if it's okay. I'd be like, yeah, well, if I see them again, I'm going to charge them with, you know, I'm going to kick you out of the hotel. I'm going to charge you with trespassing. If you resist, I'm going to charge you with assault. And like, I'm listing all the stuff that could go wrong if you disobey these orders.
Yes.
And everyone was happy. We let them go. You know, so the one kid gets out of the car, you know, his cuffs are taken off. All his stuff is given back. He gives the other stuff. We'll call him John.
Yep.
I'm not going to say his real name. So he gives Buddy all John's stuff. And so then the cop goes over to the car to let John out. And he opens up the door. And he says, all right, come on, John. Get out of my car. Come on. You have one chance to get out of my car or you're going to jail.
You're fucking kidding me.
What was that? All right. Closes the door. And we're like, well, what did he say? He told me to fuck off.
Oh my fucking god.
Now you've been placed under arrest. You're in the back of a cop car for doing something stupid. The cop's willing to let you go. Not charge you with anything. Get out of my car or you are going to jail. Their appropriate response is not fuck you.
This is the biological equivalent of being on the hook and holding on to the line.
What the fuck are you thinking? Oh, the hook slipped loose. Let me just grab it again. How's the JJ hook?
No, keep in mind, he's from the island. I used to live on the island. This is so that he's got a good story to impress the women with when he gets home. Yeah. I got arrested and I told the cop to go
fuck you.
Fuck off.
Because they had never heard anybody say that to them before. The fuck? Oh my
this
god.
This is not the appropriate time to whip out your balls. Okay?
You should let them drop first.
Exactly.
I probably did. Guyliner was all over him.
He wanted to stay in jail to stay away from me.
Not getting out of the car. Not getting out of the car.
Fuck you. Fuck you. I'm not going anywhere.
Touch me in my no place. There's eyeliner all over my back.
Oh my god. Oh, it's funnier because I know him. You've been really quiet over there.
And that was how Johnny lost his chocolate cherry.
What's with you? You're like, you're not saying a word.
I'm just listening and absorbing. Remembering I lived with him for a year.
Actually, he's looking all Palpatine on us.
He's got his hood up and he's like, did something happen?
I have no hair and my head's cold.
I have a question. Did something happen? Did he touch you in a no place?
He tried and I killed him.
Guyliner is strong with the dark side.
He's really a clone.
Yeah. So, anyone else?
I kind of got one. It's not really that stupid. It's not even really mine. This story kind of comes from a friend of mine. We'll call her Mama Bear.
Okay.
She works in retail at a clothing store. Well, she's sitting there. It's about 5 minutes after 6 o'clock. Her mistake at this point was, you know, the store's closed. She didn't actually lock the door. But the sign's turned around. It says closed. The hours are posted right there. She's behind the counter doing her cash out at the end of the day.
Yeah.
This woman walks up, looks at the sign that says closed, looks at the sign that has the hours posted on it. Okay, so it's 5 after 6. She's looking at her watch. She's looking at the sign saying they're closing at 6. It's 5 after. And she just keeps looking at these three things like about 3 or 4 times and then decides to walk in. And then she said, "Sorry, are you closed?"
Okay, now that type of stupidity I see all the time with these.
Oh yeah, my question is, what the hell happened to natural selection?
Well, no,
we bring this up every show.
It's like another time at the hotel. There's two doors, right? And then we always close the back one. And we post up a sign saying, for security reasons, we close this door after 11. And I was working there one day, and a guy comes down to the elevator. He goes over to the back door. He pushes on the door. It's locked. He reads the sign. Okay, this door is closed for security reasons. He unlocks the door, goes outside.
So you go lock it behind him.
Look, and so I went and locked it behind him. And I disappeared. I went to do a patrol. And I came back about 25 minutes later and asked the front desk dude, I'm like, "Hey, did you have a really angry guest come in here not too long ago through the main entrance?" He goes, "Yeah, he was really upset about something. Did you do something?" I'm like, "Yeah, I locked him out." He was irate about being locked out of the door.
And so we should start, you guys should have started posting another sign underneath it saying, "So go around, motherfucker."
I know I've told this story before, but I will tell it again because it's quick. I worked at a chemical plant in North Vancouver. We made chlorine gas, sodium hydroxide, hydrochloric acid, and hydrogen gas. Okay, so this is not a place you want to fuck around with. This is a place you better have the basic common sense God gave a goose. Because if you fuck up, bad shit happens.
You get goosed.
So the door broke. Now, normally the door would just open. The lock broke on it, so it was not locked open, so the door was re-catching. So all it required you to do to get out was turn the handle.
Oh, no.
So somebody slams into the door. So I put up a sign that says...
Turn the handle.
Door broken, turn handle. And it's right in front, on a glass door right in front of your vision. People keep slamming into it. So I put I highlight the sign in red. It's in large black letters. I highlight in red, and I put another sign on the door that you put to go into the office. Because the way you get out of the plant is you go in through one door, you go past the security desk, and you go out another door. So you have to actually go through a building to leave the place. Now, there are two signs on glass doors right in your line of vision, large doors, highlighted in red. Door broken, turn handle to exit. 130 people exited the building. Every single one of them slammed into the door. If they didn't slam into the door, it's because they saw somebody else slam into the door.
Now, this reminds me of my work, because my desk, I'm the middle portion between a large sales office and a large warehouse floor. And when the drivers come in to collect their goods to go ship wherever, there's clear signs on the doors, there's clear signs at my booth, and they tell you, you know, hard hat and vest or no load. There's also another sign that says, don't ring this doorbell if there's someone in the office. There's a whole bunch of signs, and they, every single time, every single driver comes in there, they're either missing their hard hat and think that the rules don't apply, or they push the button repeatedly because, and this is my favorite part, the doorbell is there if I'm not in the office. If I'm on lunch break or I've walked out to do something on a computer elsewhere, the doorbell chime does not chime where they are, it chimes in the office. So that the manager at the sales floor can come running over, give them their paperwork, and yell at them, and send them on their merry way. Well, it's a wireless doorbell. Okay, so it's a little light piece of plastic with one light... Stop it. One lightweight battery in it. So they pick it up, and they look at it, and they go, oh, this is a toy. Ding, 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 and then I come running over. What the hell are you doing? Oh, I thought it was a joke. Are you There's a wire. It's not real, is it? Ding, 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 ding. See, it's not doing anything. Ding, 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 ding.
The manager comes over. What the fuck is going on over here?
Somebody better be dead.
Now, okay. We also have drivers that show up wearing their high-vis vests backwards because I think it's funny. We've got drivers that back their vehicles into the building and then say, well, I didn't feel anything, so it must not have been me. Got you on camera. No, it still wasn't me. Here's the video. That wasn't me. These people are fucking crazy. So we get called into a safety meeting last week. Apparently, we're having a fire drill sometime in the next month.
Oh, God.
Guess what we have to do if there's drivers in the building? Everyone must exit the building, whether they are an employee of the company or not. This includes drivers of all transport vehicles. They must be escorted out of the building. They're going to know it's a drill. They're not going to want to leave their trucks. They're not going to want to come and stand outside in the parking lot for half an hour, and yet they're expecting me and whoever else. Excuse me, sir, can you please follow me to the basketball hoop for muster? Oh, this is going to be fun.
What day is that going to be on?
Oh, I don't know yet. Bringing a camera.
Find out and get
set. Have you considered investing in? Have you considered investing in a cattle prod?
Yeah.
Well, just go with a full taser. Fuck it.
No, actually, I say go with a surplus smoke grenade. Just basically, just when you hear the bell going off, just drop it. Fire, fire, and just basically haul them out. Make them think it's real.
Now that would be more entertaining.
No, I bet you half of them will run towards their trucks because they don't want to lose their vehicles.
And that's the other thing. Even if they think it's real and I've got to say, no, you and I have to go out this door right now, I'm probably going to have to grab them by the arm, and some of these people don't smell too good, and I'm really not looking forward to this.
We,
taser.
As I said, the place I worked used to make chlorine gas. Mm-hmm. So occasionally we would have a leak. And when you
that's
have
a... That's not good for you.
Yes. That's World War I mustard gas, essentially.
Yeah, that doesn't taste very good on sandwiches either.
Shazam.
Shazam. So,
gynecologist.
Thank you. So, the gas, we have a release, and I have a couple of drivers in there because they're hauling out, usually what we would haul out, no, actually byproducts was the sodium hydroxide, which is essentially bleach for all intents and purposes. And I've got to get a bunch of drivers out of the parking lot and into one of the buildings that have the compressors on them and the filters so that they're not going to end up breathing chlorine gas.
Because that's bad for you.
Apparently. And then I got to go to my first aid room. So I know exactly what you're talking about with drivers. I don't really have an individual tale of the stupid. Just herding cats is the best phrase I think I can come up with.
That's what I do every day at work.
So we've done about 2.5 hours. It's going to be a little bit of a short show, but we're done. Did you have a story?
No, I got another.
You've been very quiet.
I worked Monday to Friday, 9 to 5.
You just kind of crashed there a little while ago, didn't you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Ran out of sugar.
It's a long weekend.
Are you, do you have anything?
I've just been up
there. I got nothing.
I've just got more stupid relationship stories.
Yeah. I got one. Okay. Now, this actually involves you and me buying a TV. See, me and Safe Word here, we went out and bought a TV. We tried to apply for financing on this TV. For the $600 TV.
Yeah.
And we got denied because we had just moved, and apparently there's something screwed up with the address change that we just had. Blah, 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 blah. They're not going to finance it to us through this
normal finance company,
This bank.
Yeah.
A big bank.
Okay.
Well, here we are, 2 weeks later. We get this thing in the mail, a letter from that bank saying, sorry, we can't help you at this time. For your financing, blah, 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 blah. And I got another letter along with it, say, from this bank.
You're pre-approved for a credit card?
Pre-approved for a $5,000 line of credit. From this bank that won't lend me $600 to buy this freaking TV.
Yeah, but I've gotten those letters before.
Facepalm.
And you know what they do? They send those to everyone, and when you call them, they go, oh, sorry, everyone but you.
Yeah.
No, they've done that to
you're
me.
You're pre-approved, but you're no longer approved.
No, they've done that to me. The exact same thing. I've gone in for a loan for a car, and they've said no. And then a week later, I get the declined, plus another one that says, you've been pre-approved for a MasterCard. Call them up. Oh, this would be perfect. I can consolidate my loans at a lower rate. Actually, No, not you. Sorry, bye, click. Thanks a lot, you sons of bitches. I'm coming down there.
I just think it's absolutely stupid because I ended up buying that TV with cash. I clearly had the money. It's just I couldn't pull that much out of my bank account at that one time.
That's just the financial system.
Let's not even get into that because there's. I mean, we could argue that one for a year.
I know, but that's just.
We already pissed off the Jews enough today.
We're not gonna let you borrow $600.
Motherfucker! Seriously?
I don't know if you noticed, but none of us are really that serious on this show.
I know we're not that serious, but the thing is, seriously, I really don't want to explain a hate crime trial, okay? You know, it's like,
that's just serious.
I'm sorry, you think smoking in the bathroom and
boy, that was a Meshuggah thing to say.
It's going to stay with you on your permanent record. That's a hate crime trial, that's there forever, okay?
That's go F yourself, 69 style at hotmail.com.
Yeah, if we don't get an answer after this one, nobody's out there listening.
I'm trying. See,
it's okay to go back to sleep. I'm not hurt
you. I think we actually were putting people to sleep. We'd say something.
I'm never sleeping again.
See, the more we don't get hate mail, the more we raise the bar.
Or the Mew Mew in my case. I'm a dirty white boy.
Shazam.
Well,
so what are you doing later? Please don't hurt me.
And on that note, you all have a very good week. See you next time.
Gynecologist.
You.
Fuck
you.
<yeah.
laughs> Okie dokie.